And I go out early in the morning and I was out there about 7:15, back to the seawall, looking at the tide coming in. And I thought about creation. And I looked at, over to my left was some ribbon marking off for some turtle eggs where turtles are protected at the beach. The beaches, I call this pondering. I sit and I ponder about things, and that's just the way I do it. I sit at home out in my out porch on the fence and I ponder. And I write down, I take little notes along, and I've always done that. I might write a song, or it might be a verse, or it might just be a thought. I'll mark this for later. I may have a sermon on it or something. So we appreciate it. We men appreciate this opportunity of trying to get some studying done and maybe teach others. But I'm gonna read y'all how I started this. And I told you about it about 7:15. I look out at the Gulf of Mexico, not a soul around, just a few foot from the tide rolling in. And I wondered what over the horizon, what was Columbus thinking when he was looking and sailing out of Barcelona Harbor looking for new land? Now, this is a long time ago. This is hundreds of years ago, and we'll get and see in this story. This is going a lot of time to be hundreds of years at a time. It's like, look how long we've been a country right here. Even though they people have been living in Florida a long time, but this country is so many years old, 250 years old as a nation. But I sat there and I thought, that's all I can see is the ocean. And I said that to say this. Look at creation. And look at what Adam to the flood. And we can see it. The imagination of man's heart was on evil continually by then. Well, it looked like it's that same way today to me. The imagination of man's heart's on evil continually. But what I really wanted to start with was just simply the fall of man. And there's two statements that was made that is so, I call it just profound statements that was made. Because Daryl covered this really good in Genesis. But when Adam took of the fruit and when he talked to God, he said, well, that woman you gave me, she gave it to me. He blamed the woman. Later on, after they had got kicked out of the garden and they got children of their own, one offered a better sacrifice than the other. And what happened? Cain killed Abel. And we'll see Abel's blood mentioned throughout the scripture. And what did he do? He said, the Lord asked him, where's his brother? He said, am I my brother's keeper? Those are two statements that are so profound. Yes, you are our brother's keeper. And yes, you got to look at the way this was said. But I'm going to go away from that. That was the first page. And I'm going to go back to where creation and talking about the creation. As I look out there and I see this tide coming in, and I can't help but think about all the Lord said initially, he said he created the dry land and the seas. I'm looking at the seas. We're looking at the seas. We think, well, did Adam get to see the sea? He probably did. I mean, he was in a pretty garden. The Lord had divided all the land from the sea and everything else and made all the animals and made a wife for Adam. And we don't know how long they might have stayed in that garden. We don't have any clue. It might have been weeks, it might have been months, it might have been years. But sin got in the way of them being in the garden. The sin then affects every one of us today because every one of us is prone to sin. And I can't get over it. Am I my brother's keeper? I don't have a brother, but y'all men are my brothers and you women are my sisters. And yes, we need to watch out and take care and do what we can to be a good influence on one another. But as we look at, we'll go to Genesis 6, just start there. Can you imagine now, here's the earth, maybe, I don't know, 1,200, 1,500 years the earth had been in existence. And what does the Lord say in Genesis 6? The Lord saw the wickedness was great the Lord was sorry that he made man, because the imagination of man's heart was on evil continually. Is that the way things are? That's the way it looks like today, the way the crazy things in this world are today. But anyway, the Lord saw the wickedness, and he was sorry that he made man. And you'll find out through the scriptures later on, the Lord is sorry that he brought the children of Israel out, and Moses had to talk to him about that. But anyway, so as you look at Noah, but he found grace in the eyes of the Lord and was perfect in his generation, and he walked with God. He's not the first that walked with God. Daryl covered that this morning about those that walk with God. But remember, they're just learning, and it's been all these years, 1,500 or whatever years. And so God remembered that Noah, and Noah done exactly what God told him to do. Now, we've been and seen the Creation Museum and the Ark up in Ohio, and to walk in something 450 foot long and all 75 foot wide and 45 foot tall and see all the rooms and everything in that ark. Now, I don't know what that ark looked like. We just know this was patterned the length, width, and height of the ark, and it is profound to see that thing and see it as big as it is. The rooms divided, and God put them on the ark and took care of the animals. They had to have water, food, waste removal. They had all this stuff that taken care of, but the Lord took care of it. The Lord told Noah what to do, and he done it. Thus, he survived. The Lord remembered Noah, and when he got out of the ark, when they got the flood was over and the land receded, the water receded off of the land, and he got out of the ark, he built an altar to the Lord. And he made a covenant, while earth remains, there would be no more flood, would never destroy man, never destroy like that again. Can you imagine that? So, and then it goes into the scattering. After that, it's scattering all the people and all the lineage of just Noah and his wife, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And you look at that right there, and you think, wow, out of this. But look what started with Adam and Eve. Look what started with just Noah and his family. And you have every generation of people there is. And as you look at what people wanted to do, they was growing, and people was in, they were just hordes of people, so to speak. And there again, they thought, well, this is down around the era of the Chaldees. The people said, let's build a tower to Babel. That right there is in chapter 11. To come, let us build a tower of Genesis to the heavens. Well, the Lord ended up scattering the people, because you can't have that happen. You got to have some control of people. And so the Lord scattered the people. And look a little bit later there. Abram was born in chapter 11, verse 26, and the initiation of the covenant. The Lord sent Abram, get out of your country. He was down in the Ur of the Chaldees, and he had to go to Haran. And then he went from Haran through Canaan down to Egypt. This process of time, it's a long way when you're walking and riding whatever they rode back then. But the Lord appeared to him. He called him by the name of the Lord. He called on the name of the Lord. This is chapter 13. Chapter 15, he made the promise. The promise to the children, the land promise. Chapter 15, 13, they would be strangers in the land 400 years. And that they were. And they were in that land that long. And there's a lot of passage I don't have time to read. I don't have time to go over them. But do we, this is the promise. And I'm going to turn to 15, 13 and read that. 15:13. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan. Now see, he done gone all this distance to Canaan, and that's where he's at. And he has his descendants with him, Lot. And he said, Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan. Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain. They pitched his tent as far as Sodom. The men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful. You've got to go like this. Sodom and Gomorrah was full of wicked people. And Lot, righteous Lot, he moved there. And his soul was vexed every day he was there, because they were after him and after his family. And you know what happened to that. We're not going to get into a whole lot about Lot, but the fact is, Abraham, he had to rescue Lot one time, and then we know what happened when Sodom and Gomorrah, but we know what happens in chapter 15, God's promise to the children. I'm going to read that, verse 1 through about 13. After these things, the word of the Lord come to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." Abram said, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?" Abram said, "Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born of my house is my heir. Behold, the word of the Lord shall come to him, or came to him, saying, The one shall not be your heir, but one who comes from your own body shall be your heir." They brought him outside. He said, "Look to the heavens and count the stars. If you're able to number them, that'll be your descendants." We're talking about a lot of people. A lot of people. And he said, and he believed in the Lord, and he accounted him for righteous. And he said, "I am the Lord who brought you out of the Ur of the Chaldees and give you this land to inherit." And he said, "Lord, how shall I know I will inherit?" He said, "Bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." He bought them out, and he bought them out and cut them in pieces down the middle, placed them on the opposite side of the other, and he cut the birds in two. And the vultures came down to the carcass. Abram drove them away. When the sun was about to go down, a deep sleep came on Abram, and behold, great darkness. And he said to Abram, "Know certainly that your descendants shall be strangers in a land that is not theirs, will serve them and afflict them 400 years. That's a long time to be in bondage, ain't it? But that's what it is. And he goes on, but we can't read all of this. But as you go to the next chapter, chapter 6, Abram's wife took Hagar the maid, and they had a child, which is Ishmael. We know how that worked out. Chapter 17, Adam was 99 years old. The Lord approached him and said, "I am a mighty God. Walk with me and be blameless. I will make my covenant between me and you and multiply you exceedingly." And Abram fell on his face, and God talked to him, saying, "As for me, my servant is with you. You shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but be Abraham. And I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make a nation of you. Kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and your descendants to you and their generation for everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants. Also, I give you your descendants after you, the land which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, an everlasting possession. I will be their God." And God said to Abraham, "As for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants throughout their generation." You remember, they got the land all right in time. They conquered the land. But let's go in, because Abraham, there's a lot of things happening we're going to have to miss. We see that Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. Can you imagine the evil that's in Sodom and Gomorrah? The evil that walks around our street today just like it. Men and women and women and everything that goes on that's against the scriptures. You know what happened to Lot's wife? She looked back and turned to a pillar of salt. She's told not to look back. We're not supposed to look back on our sins and reflect on how bad we were, to look straight ahead. Don't look back. And she looked back and she turned to a pillar of salt. Over 21, you got the birth of Isaac. And you know what happened there? How he was offered. And as you look at all this here, you can see from the promised land promised on to, I want to just read this right here. Galatians says, and I'll just say it to you. Galatians, the children of Israel by faith. Read that about the children of Israel. But we have to work and be faithful to death. These people had to be faithful to death. They have a law they had to live by. And Jacob, in 17, chapter 17, Jacob and Israel, the sons, chapter 37, He goes into Joseph. I've got to read this kind of fast because we don't have all the time in the world to take care of this. And in chapter 50, you know what happened to Joseph? Can you imagine his brother sold him into slavery? He sold him, and then he went into slavery. And then because of the grace of God, Pharaoh was nice to him, and he was nice back, and he helped him, and he was made ruler of the land. And Joseph was a friend. He was over the whole land of Egypt. Joseph's brothers that sold him had to go to him and get something to eat, just to make it short and brief. As he got something to eat, yes, they did. Can you imagine when he seen his brothers and they didn't know him, he spoke harshly to them because they were so mean to him, no wonder he did. But it broke his heart to know that his brothers done this to him. But you know what? He forgave them. We got to be forgiven. If we don't forgive, we cannot be forgiven. That's just the way it is. So look what happened there. And then when Joseph died, the new king took over Egypt that did not know Joseph. And obviously, for a long time, the people were so oppressed and and the children that lived there, they were multiplying and multiplying in millions by the time that Moses come on the scene. And Moses was born, and you know, he was hid in the bulrushes by his family and found by Pharaoh's daughter. We all know that story. And there's a lot of stories to be told about Moses and everything that happened to him. And we got to leave a lot of it out because we don't have the time. But one of the things that I have to when I talk about Moses, I have to think about, you think about what he went through and getting prepared to take the people, because Moses killed somebody and he fled to Canaan, and then the Lord spoke to him there on the mountain. And he had to go back to Egypt and try to get the people ready to go. That's a big task. And here's, I'm not a good speaker. I'm not this and I'm not that. I'm not the other. But Moses done what God told him to do. And see, if we do what God tells us to do, we will stay out of trouble. If we don't, we're going to be in trouble. I guarantee you. Moses, as you go on through, we're down at, it says in Exodus 12, the sojourning of the children of Israel in Egypt was 430 years. That's a mighty long time. There were a lot. Remember, about 70 of them went down. Now there's millions of them. And Pharaoh needed to let the people go. When they finally got to going, and they got there in across the Red Sea now, but I'm not going to go into everything that they went through to try to get to that point, because there's too much reading. And Moses, the day that they started out, the people complained. Do we complain about, my foot hurts, or my toe hurts, or my back hurts, or whatever hurts? But the children of Israel complained about everything, and they got caught because they got in the trap. And even, can you imagine, here there's 1 million or 2 million people trying to walk, and they're trying to listen to their leader, and he's trying to keep them in tow where they're supposed to go, but they don't listen. Moses said there was a stiff-necked people, and Moses, one of the things that happened that is so profound, and that is when he went to get the law and what Aaron, his brother, done to the people, they just said, where is that? Where is that man? You know, where is that man at? We don't know where he's at. So he asked them to pull their earrings out of their ears and everything else, and he built a golden calf. Well, when God was on the mountain with Moses, he said, you better get down, your people are acting up. It's briefly what that's talking about. They go down the mountain, and there's the people acting like this. And I'm telling you, no wonder God was mad at them. They made this calf, and they said, this is our God. He's going to do this and this and this. And you know what? Moses got mad, the Lord got mad, and Moses broke the law, and he had to go back up on the mountain again. But he destroyed the golden calf. A lot of people died because of this. They'll die because of sin. We'll die if we don't get out of the sin we're in. We'll die. And Moses had a hard time going and getting the people to follow him. And can you imagine? And it affected Moses, because Moses done something. He struck the rock instead of speaking to the rock. That cost Moses not to get to the promised land. And if you look at that right there, but Moses, he lived, he worked, he died, he done exactly what God told him to do. And God let him see the promised land. It let him go into the promised land. And it makes us think, what's our promised land? What is our promised land if it's not being an obedient child and respecting the reward of heaven? And so as you look at this right here, what's our promised land? The Jews, you look at the Jews today. They rejected Jesus. They don't want their problem. They're waiting for him to come back and set up. Not going to happen. Not going to set up another kingdom. This kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. They've had every chance they want to. When you totally deny God, you totally deny God and broke his word and just cast his word aside. It's like anybody, I don't care who it is, it could be a Jew or anybody, that we're just saying the Jews, it's Jew people itself. They rejected God back then. And we know what our promise is. But I want you to look at Matthew 23. We're going to go over into the New Testament now. Matthew 23. I'll read a few scriptures. Matthew 23. Let me get it just a minute here. Jesus condemned the Pharisees in verse 13. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites! You shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go into yourself, nor do you allow these who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses and pretense make long prayers. Therefore, you will receive a greater condemnation. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte. When he's one, you make him twice as much as the son of hell as yourself. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, whoever swears by the temple, it's nothing. Whoever swears by the gold in the temple is obligated to perform it. Fools and blind, which is greater, the gold or the temple that sacrifices the gold? Whoever swears by the altar, it is nothing. Whoever swears by the gift that's in it, he is obligated to perform it. Fools and blind, which is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? Wherefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and all things. He who swears by the temple swears by it who dwells in it. He who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God, by him who sits in it. Woe to you, scribes and the Pharisees and hypocrites, you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and neglect the weighty matters of the law, justice and mercy to those. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides, you strain out the gnat and swallow a camel. Strain out the gnat and swallow a camel. We could go on with that. Woe to the scribes and Pharisees. Old Jerusalem, down in 37. Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. I wanted to gather your children together as hens gather her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. And I will say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They totally ignored, totally, Jesus Christ. They killed him. They done everything in the world to him. And they will find out one day about this right here. But I want to go back one more to Numbers. The Lord said 10 times, or they're writing, 10 times you've tested the Lord. What do we do? Now, this is talking about Moses and everything that the people done. Now, the people leading up to Moses and his whole family, when they finally get to go into Israel, when they get to go to the promised land, and this is just what we're talking about now is how the Lord has made things for them to do. They're not doing it. Moses even said, "You rebels," and he was so mad at the people himself because they would not listen. How many times you got to tell somebody to go into the land? And they, of course, here they had to wander 40 years because they didn't obey God to begin with. Why didn't they obey God? I don't know. Because of the hardness of their heart. But in Matthew, we'll find that the Jews disrespected Jesus. And of course, this is leading up to, we're talking about the promised land because they rejected Jesus. If you're going to be with Jesus, you'll get to the promised land one day. But you look at life itself, and you look at the things that's happened in our life and the lives of those great men of the scriptures. And you look at what people are trying to get out of the promised land. The Jews of today, anybody that's of that persuasion over there, they believe, and even the denominational world, they believe that everything going to happen, they're going to got to go back to Jerusalem, set up a kingdom. Christ is going to come set up his kingdom. They do not accept what has happened. If we don't believe that Jesus died on the cross, rose again, and you look at Matthew's account when the veil of the temple was rent, done away with the old law. This very law that we're talking about, that Moses got on the mount, that was done away with. We live in a different age. But we are of Abraham's seed. Galatians 3 tells us we're of Abraham's seed. And we'll read that in just a little bit. But Galatians 6 tells us the church is the Israel of God. And this is a whole thing. We're trying to be children of Israel. They were trying to be children of Israel. They were children of Israel. They went into this land. They did not do what God told them to do. They did go in and conquer the land. Now it said Joshua conquered everything that the Lord told him to do. He done it. But the fact is, the people of the land, they kept intermarrying. They kept doing everything in the world. They'd go in and get along with the neighbors that didn't live like them. They was told to go in to destroy. When God says, do something, do it. Don't question. Habakkuk 3 says, let the world keep silent before you. The Lord said it. Do it. Listen to it. Don't question what the Lord said. I'm not saying it. The scripture's saying what we need to do. The church is the Israel of God today. 2 Peter. Let's turn to 2 Peter. I'm going to read a couple of verses in 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1. Oh, I'm on the wrong side. 2 Peter 1. You look at 2 Peter 1 just to tell you. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3. Oh, I'm in the wrong chapter. 3. 2 Peter 1, and we all know this right here. I quote it very often. Add to your faith virtue. Virtue, knowledge. Knowledge, temperance. Temperance, patience. Patience, godliness. Godliness, brother kindness. Brother kindness, charity. But listen to what else it says. If you do these things and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he who lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and forgotten he was once purged from his old sin. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, be diligent to make your calling and election. Sure, if you do these things, you'll never fall. The Bible is full of being diligent. We got to be diligent in our studies, diligent in our effort to serve God. We all make a lot of mistakes, but we got to be diligent about it. And these opportunities right here is a good opportunity for any man that wants to get up here and say something. You'll have an opportunity. Now I want to go to 2 Peter 2 and read 4 through 9. Just think about the dangers of false teaching. I get so tired on television to seeing these preachers get up there and say the sinner's prayer or whatever they say that they want you to do. But here's what God said. in chapter 2. I'm going to read all of chapter 2, or about 9 verses of chapter 2 of 2 Peter. But there were also false teachers among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them and bring them to a swift destruction. It happens every day. Many follow their destructive ways because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. But in a long time, their judgment has been idle. Their destruction does not slumber. If God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them to chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to ash, condemned them to destruction, making them example of those who would live ungodly. But delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. We just talked about he was definitely vexed daily. For the righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day by day, seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Don't we get tired every day of seeing the terrible news about all the different things that goes on in this world? Then the Lord knows how to deliver the ungodly out of temptation, reserve the unjust for punishment in the day of judgment. We've got to pay attention to this right here. If we don't, you know what's going to happen? It's going to happen, I'm telling you. Let's turn to Galatians. Going to read Galatians 6. I alluded to this, Galatians 6, 14 and 15, 16. But God forbid, Paul talking, that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world had been crucified to me and to the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation. As many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them, upon the Israel of God. And we know what we got to do. There are many false teachers in the world. There's many problems in the world. And as you look at all the crazy things that happens in this world, let's don't get, I want to go now to Hebrews 11 and read a few verses. Hebrews 11, then we'll read 12. As you look at Hebrews 11, it's going to talk about these great people of faith. Definition of faith: faith, assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the words of God, so that the things that are seen were not made of things that are visible. By faith Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham and Sarah, and down to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Joshua and Rahab, and on down to look at what happened after this right here. Joshua and Rahab. The walls of Jericho fell down and were they encircled for 7 days. By faith, the Rahab harlot did not punish, but perish with those who did not believe when she received the spies in peace. Many other heroes. What shall I tell you? The time shall fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets. Through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, but become valiant in battles as we turn to fight the armies of the aliens. Now, I'm going to read something now that is so bad. Look here, this is how God's people were treated. Women received their dead raised to life. Others were tormented, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mocking and scourging, some in chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, sawn asunder. They were tempted, slain with a sword, wandered in sheepskin, goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, to whom the world is not worthy. They wandered in caves and mountains and dens and caves on the earth, and all of these having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that we should be made perfect apart from us. No, that promise is Christ. That promise is Christ's death, because he rose, he died for us, but he arose and ascended to heaven. sits at the right hand of the throne of God. As you look at this right here, now I'm going to read a little bit of 12:22 and 24. But you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, in an innumerable count or company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who is registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits and just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant and the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things of that than of Abel. There's Abel again. My friends, we could go on and on and on and on. And there's many people believe that the covenant that Jesus hadn't come, Jesus coming back. Many people believe that. But I'm going to tell you what, they're never going to go back. Jews are never going to regain the land. The land was taken from them, the land, because of sin. There's a lot of things that are taken from us by sin. Sin will take our soul, take our heart. It'll destroy our soul. Sin will. We have to repent of that sin. We have to be baptized for remission of our sin. I'm going to read one of my absolute favorite passages and tell this little story. And it's the Ethiopian eunuch, probably my favorite of the stories of what people do to be saved. You know, Philip was told to go. You know, when I look at it right here, can you imagine? Stephen going south along a road which goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. We're right there right now over there fighting like crazy, and they got peace supposedly right now. But here's what happened. So Philip is sitting as he rose, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit said to Philip, "Go up and overtake the chariot." Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and he said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I unless somebody guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this. We led that song this morning. "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before its shears is silent. So he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life was taken on earth, from the earth." So the eunuch said, "Philip, I ask you, to whom is this prophet say? Is this himself or some other man?" What did Philip do? Philip, he as they went down the road, he said, Philip opened his mouth and began reading and preached Jesus to him. If you preach Jesus, you're going to preach baptism. They went down the road. They came to some water. The eunuch said, "See, here's water. What hinders me to be baptized?" Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God." He commanded the chariot to stand still, both Philip and the eunuch, and he went down in water and he baptized him. Now when he come out of the water, the Spirit of God called away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. A simple passage that it tells you exactly what to do. But you've got to study. You've got to know the word. You've got to understand at least some of the word that tells you to be baptized for the remission of sin. It's not me saying it. It's the scripture I just read. That's what the scripture says. There's not a hint in the new covenant of Christ that God will destroy the nation of Israel. But we are Christians are the Israel of God. My friends, if we can do anything to help you, let's stand as we sing this invitation song.